tormented or tortured forever just because of the things that they've chosen here on earth. It's like, you know, punishment okay, but eternal punishment or even torment or even torture, that seems a bit extreme. So, before we begin, what are your thoughts? Oh, hey, Ray, what you need? So there are certain people we don't really have a problem with suffering for eternity. But there are other people that are kind of living, you know, good lives you could look at, but yet they're just not Christians. And we struggle a little more with the idea of eternal punishment for them. Yes, Jeff. And you hear that a lot. You hear that a lot. Well, as we start, let's kind of clarify something. There's a difference between liking something and having it be the right thing to do. So, I mean, the right thing for me to do is to get up and go to work and support my family. It doesn't mean that I always like that idea of getting up in the morning. When the alarm goes off and it's like, oh, I'm really here for another 2 hours. You know, it doesn't matter whether I like to get up in the morning and go to work. It's a matter of what's the right thing to do. I mean, if you look at the idea of committing adultery. Some people think that it seems like a fun thing to do, but it's not the right thing to do. And so there is a distinction here. So, you know, sometimes you are put into a difficult situation where you've got to tell somebody the truth. Or if you're a boss, maybe you have to fire somebody. And it doesn't mean that you like it. But it might be the right thing to do. Maybe if you've got to tell people a hard truth, you need to do that. Or if somebody is not a good fit for this job that they've been hired to do, sometimes it's better for them and better for you if you have to let them go. And so, but that doesn't mean that you like it. So whenever, if God is going to sentence somebody to hell, it doesn't mean he likes it. It means it's the right decision. As Russ mentioned a minute ago, it's a right decision because it's also the decision that they chose. Okay. So, you know, God hates the idea of hell. He wants everybody to have a chance to obey the word and to be able to go to heaven. That's his fondest desire, and that's the mission he's given to us, is to go out and to minimize that number of people and to maximize the number of people that he can have to go to heaven. God is a loving God, but he is also just, moral, pure, fair. And so God's decisions aren't based on emotion the way sometimes ours are. They're based on justice. What is the right thing to do? What is the correct decision to make? And he can do that without being influenced by an emotional aspect. Sometimes if you're on a jury, sometimes it might be that somebody's committed a crime and you can maybe even understand why they committed the crime. And so it's difficult to agree that they're guilty and award a punishment for it. But sometimes you say, you know, okay, I understand why you did this, but it's not acceptable in our society to do what it is that you did. Could force us to do something, but that's not who we are. That's like having somebody as your spouse by tying them up and keeping them in the basement. That's not the relationship that most people want to have. And that's not the relationship God has, where he's going to force us to do something against our will. Thank you. pretend to understand what you just said. Try that again and let me see if I can follow your thought process here. Yeah, the whole thing about hell being a good place to be kind of threw me there. Okay, now I think I see where you're going. Perfect segue to what I was just about to talk about. So hold that thought. I thought I saw another hand. Okay. First of all, let's talk just for a second about heaven. What's the description that we have of heaven? Okay, paradise, a wonderful paradise. Streets of gold. Tree of life in the middle. Okay, we're with God. Okay, we're in His presence. Okay. Okay. All right. So we're given a mental picture of what heaven is like. Do you think that it's going to perfectly match that description in Revelation that was given? We can't even imagine how good heaven is. In our wildest imagination, if you painted yourself a picture of the perfect place to be, it pales in comparison to what heaven would actually be. We can't even comprehend that. And so, the descriptions that we're given of heaven are all sort of metaphoric. There's nothing that God can do to describe how good it really is. And by the same token, the descriptions that we have of hell are probably not literally what hell is, because it's hard for us to wrap our brains around the kind of things that God imagines for us. And so the idea of the flames in hell may also not be literal. because flame is considered in the Bible to be a symbol of judgment. Let me see, in Hebrews 12:29, for example, it says that God is a consuming fire. And in Revelation 19:12, it said his eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. Well, you know, if you try to picture what God looks like, he probably doesn't have 12 crowns stacked up on his head. You know, there's a lot of imagery and a lot of description here to give us a concept here. So even though you wonder how could God send somebody to be tortured in flames forever whenever you couldn't even take your enemy's hand and hold it into a fire for a second. You know, you couldn't make yourself do that probably, I hope. And so, you know, how could God send somebody there? This may not be literal flames, but that doesn't mean that this is not a place of punishment. There are things worse than that. And the idea of separation from God is probably so much worse than being tortured in flames. So that may not be a literal thing. But what we do know is that hell is a place of punishment. So, you know, don't get caught up too much in the idea of flames and everything. How could God send somebody to be, you know, slow roasted over a fire for eternity? That's probably not accurate, in the same way that our picture of heaven is probably not accurate. But we do know that it is a place, you know, completely desolate by the complete lack of God's influence there. So it's not trying to make people feel better by saying the flames may not be literal, because it's probably 10 times worse than we can imagine. Just the flames themselves may not be literal. Yes?
You know, I've often talked about, you know, the whole idea that this is just a Russism, as I call it. You know, hell, to me, is going to be more the idea of spending an eternity out of God's presence and having an eternity to think about the reasons you're not in God's presence, that you rejected that relationship with Him. That's the torture, to know that you could be with God's presence for all eternity, but you chose not to. And so, you know, again, it's, why am I there? You know, partly because, you think about really evil people, but for anyone, as I said earlier, that's rejected that relationship with God, if you didn't want a relationship with Him when you were here, okay, and by the way, a big part of the picture that we find in the Bible of what we're going to be doing in heaven is worshiping God, okay? Mm-hmm. And so those who don't have the time or don't want to take the time or the effort to worship God while they're here, why would they want to do that for all eternity, you mm-hmm. see? And so to me, that's hell. Mm-hmm. You realize that for all eternity, if I would have done this in my lifetime, then I wouldn't be in this place.
Mm-hmm. It's people that don't want to surrender their lives to anybody,
exactly.
Even an all-loving, all-giving God. They'd rather be in control of their own destiny. And so everything that you do every day is part of your eternal destiny. There are many, many decisions. You don't make a one-time decision in your life of, hey, I'm going to follow God or I'm not going to follow God. That's a decision you make every day of your life. And there's a thousand little decisions every day that contribute to that decision. But ultimately, it is your decision. Yes, ma'am.
Life that we spend here, we are able to spend eternity in a place like that.
can't do anything to deserve heaven. We're not really doing anything to deserve hell. We're just choosing to go there if we choose not to follow Jesus. Even if you're not a Christian, you're still living in this beautiful world that God created for you. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. You benefit from God's blessings every day, whether or not you're a Christian. And that's part of His way of making Himself known to you, is the creation that you see around you, and the beauty and the order that you see that makes it possible for you to live here. And so, yeah, that's part of the separation from God, is that you won't have that blessing anymore. Yes. Just a few questions that sometimes people have about hell. One of them that you may encounter is, how can God send children to hell? The answer is, He doesn't. That's not at all what the Bible teaches. In 2 Samuel 12:23, after David's son that he had with Bathsheba died, it says, but now that he's dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. David felt like, okay, he's in a place where I'm going to go one day. And so he felt like that child was, I guess, in a saved condition, just as David wanted to be. And the kingdom of God is often compared to little children. Jesus says, you know, be like these little children. And So he's not saying, you know, be like these lost little children or anything. But children that haven't reached an age of accountability are saved. You don't have to worry about their eternal condition. So you don't have to worry about a two-year-old that hasn't been baptized. If they pass away, what happens to them? They are protected. God will take care of them. So that's not a concern that you need to have. Hell is reserved for people that have made a conscious decision to go there, whether they realize it or not. Okay. Another question is, well, is it fair that, you know, the Joe down the street that lives a pretty good life, but he hasn't chosen to follow Jesus, is it fair that he goes to the same place that a serial killer goes to? So that's a question that some people have. The answer is we don't know that they do. Matthew 11:22-24, if you go there, indicates that there may be different degrees of punishment depending on your situation. Go to there. You got a good teacher who would already be there and read it to you. And one day you will. I'm almost there. Just a minute. All right, so Jesus says, but I tell you that it'll be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Back in verse 22, I tell you it'll be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. Those are just hints that we have that Jesus gave, but it may be that there are different levels of punishment depending on your condition at the time. It's the kind of thing we really don't know, but we have to assume that with everything that God does, that there is a certain amount of fairness if you're involved in it. Not just to our human minds, but to God's mind. So we don't know that the person who is pure evil suffers the exact same punishment of the person who has made the decision not to follow God. Both of those are serious decisions. Both of those are the worst possible decision you can make in God's eyes. So in one sense, you know, they're still both deserving of not going to heaven and going to hell. But we don't know that there's still not a difference. It's still bad and it's still separation from God. Still a huge chasm between the two. And so, we don't know that it's the exact same punishment. I don't know that it's like Dante's Inferno, where if you're there for gluttony, you have a different punishment than you're there for one of the other seven deadly sins. That's just a fictitious creation of a human writer there. But the fact is, we don't know. And we shouldn't assume that people receive the same punishment. You want to think of it that way. But when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What did he say? Okay. If you haven't done that, then you violated the greatest commandment. So, you know, how much worse can it be? All right, so one question. You know, with the idea of length of time that you're going to be punished. You know, if you're here on this earth for 100 years, if you're lucky, why should you have eternal punishment for a certain number of years of bad behavior? But if you look at it, even we do that. I mean, how long does it take to murder somebody? And yet, how long is the punishment? You get a life sentence for something that may have happened in 10 seconds. But the reason why God doesn't just annihilate us if you're not going to heaven is because God sees that you've got value. He says you have intrinsic value. And I guess even if you've chosen not to follow him, you still have enough value that he's not just going to destroy you. He's going to instead respect the choice that you've made and send you to the place that you've chosen to go to. So he's allowing you to live for eternity just in a completely separate place from God. So he's respecting the decision that you've made to not want to associate yourself with God. Not a pleasant place because you don't have God's influence there, but he still respects the fact that you are his creation and that you are still valuable. Okay, one I've struggled with. How can the saved enjoy heaven knowing that people are eternally condemned in hell? Thoughts on that? That was kind of, I guess, what I hoped was that I wouldn't know about the people that weren't there. But if we do, once again, we're realizing that God has respected the choice that they made. That they're not there, not because God has sentenced them to be somewhere else, but because they've chosen not to be there.
Because all your worries, all of them will be taken away.
I noticed you pointed at me.
I know.
Place of pure happiness, then obviously by whatever means God has chosen, we're not going to spend our lives miserable for the people that aren't there.
Enjoying what God is providing.
thing is, I'm not sure anybody will be completely shocked. I mean, even if you're somebody that has gone to church every week, you still know your heart. And that was one thing many years ago when the book Left Behind came out that I read. And even though I disagreed with the end times theology of it, there was an assistant minister that was left behind whenever the first resurrection happened, or rapture, or whatever they call it in there. But he wasn't surprised. In the book, he says, deep down I knew I was living a lie, that I was saying the things I was supposed to say and doing the things I was supposed to do, but my heart wasn't in it. He said, I knew that I wasn't doing this because of faith and love of God, that I was just doing it. I was going through the motion. And so he was sad, but not surprised. He wasn't shocked that he didn't make it. Even though everybody else would have been shocked that he didn't make it, he wasn't. But he was a good person. That's true. One question people have is, well, why don't people get a second chance? And that's something that some groups teach is a second chance. You know, whether you go to purgatory or whether you're baptized for the dead, or, you know, whatever these different groups are. The fact is, you had more than a second chance. You get a second chance every single day of your life. And so, if you were given another chance, and if you were reincarnated and given a new life, what is going to suddenly change in your thought process that is going to make you suddenly have a change of thought and decide that you want to live with God for eternity? God gives you all the opportunities that you need, because He doesn't want you to be lost. He wants you to be there with Him for eternity. So He gives you all these chances to do so. So it's with a heavy heart that He honors your choice. You decide not to. But you've made that choice, and you've made that choice every day of your life and all the little decisions that we talked about earlier. You've built that path for your eternal destination one stepping stone at a time for your entire life. True. He said they have Moses and the prophets. Why didn't they listen to them? And that's the same way with us. You've got Jesus. You've got people telling you all around you. It's your choice. When it comes right down to it, hell is a monument of God's love for us and His respect. His respect for us as having value and having the free will to make our own choices, to our dignity. He has said, you are too valuable to me to just destroy if you choose not to believe in me. So I'm going to honor your choice that you've made by letting you live in an area separated from me. I'm going to let you live, but it won't be with me, and that's your choice, not mine. I'm going to say, I wanted you to be here with me. I begged you to be here with me. I gave you opportunities to choose to be here with me, and you've consistently made the choice that that's not what you want to do. And so he says, I'm going to value you enough to let you live with the choice you made, and that's to live separate. So, Jesus obviously believed in the idea of hell, that it exists as a place, and it shouldn't be a stumbling block to us, even if we don't fully understand the concept of what it's going to be like. We do know, as with everything that God does, that it's going to be fair, and that it's going to be just, and that even the people that are there are going to realize, okay, I'm here because of the choices that I made. Closing thoughts.